What you need to understand is that the nervous system does not speak in explanation and story. The nervous system speaks in sensation and emotion.
You're listening to Love and Libido with me, your host, Dr. Emily Jamia. I'm a licensed sex and relationship therapist and author of the new book, Anatomy of Desire, 5 Secrets to Create Connection and Cultivate Passion, which is currently available for pre-order everywhere books are sold and through my website, emilyjamia.com. The goal of this podcast is to educate and inspire. Here's what's coming up on today's episode. Do you think you might be guilty of ignoring relationship red flags? Are you unsure whether the butterflies in your stomach represent excitement or a warning signal? Relationships are hard, but could be made easier if we learn to pay closer attention to the information that comes from our body when we are around other people. If you listened to the last episode of my podcast, you got a sneak peek into the exciting new research on nervous system synchronicity. We look at this through a different lens today, and I can't wait to dive in. I'm joined by Lauren Zoller, a 7-figure entrepreneur, host of the Aligned Love podcast, speaker, and author. As the founder of the Aligned Love Experience, Lauren is an expert practitioner in reparenting, generational healing, and somatic experiencing. Through her work, she created the proprietary voice activation method that has been used to help thousands of men and women heal from past trauma and take ownership over their future. She is a certified dating and relationship coach, and her insights have been featured on The Drew Barrymore Show, The New York Post, Business Insider, and other international media outlets. Without further ado, let's dive in. Okay, Lauren, welcome to the show. I am so happy to have you here with me today.
I'm so excited. We've been trying to do this for a while, so it feels good to actually be here.
I know. Same. I think we initially connected like a year ago, which I kind of like that we're just now talking because it's given me the opportunity to really follow your account closely over the past year. And so I feel like I have a really good handle on your message and what you have coming out with your new book, which I want to definitely dive into, and just kind of what's been going on with your personal life. So we have a lot to chat about. Before we dive into everything, I think it would be great for people to learn a little bit about you and how you got into the field and what your journey up until this point has been like.
Yeah. So for those of anybody that's listening that doesn't really know who I am and what I do, I am a somatic dating and relationship expert. It's kind of what I like to say, but I always laugh because I say that this field, I did not pick this field. This field really picked me in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And it happened through really experiencing a lot of turmoil in the dating and the relationship realm, which I know we're going to talk about my personal life here in a little bit, which it all comes full circle, right? But to kind of not go too far into the story, I'll take everyone back to about 8.5 years ago when I first started my coaching practice. I was primarily working with other entrepreneurs and helping them scale their online businesses with heart. And if you saw me at that time and you followed me on socials, it looked like I was living this dream life. My business was really great. I was being featured in, you know, New York Times and NBC News. I was traveling the world with my so-called, you know, friends. I like to use air quotes because I don't really speak to any of these people anymore. And I also had what I like to call my own like real life version of a Kindle, my boyfriend at the time, that was traveling with me. And I was living this like picturesque life. And if you followed me on social, you would have seen it. Mm-hmm. But what people didn't see was that on the inside, I was a train wreck. Mm. And I like to point out that during this time too, Emily, I was doing all of the things that we as successful women are taught to do. I had a whole team of therapists and coaches that I was working with. I was reading one personal development book every single month. I, you know, was getting up and getting my 10,000 steps in. I was doing all the things.
Yeah, right? All the healthy things.
All the healthy things. And my life just really didn't feel that great. And so I had this, I called it my rock bottom moment or my turning point moment. It was one Wednesday morning. I was standing in front of my mirror reciting my morning affirmations because I did that every morning.
Right.
And I looked down at my phone and I had several missed calls from my Kindle boyfriend, from his mother, calling to let me know that he had checked himself into rehab for the 6th time that year. Mm.
Wow.
So that was call number one. There were two more calls that came through that day. The second call was from my accountant calling to let me know that my seemingly booming business was 30K in debt. And I was spending money quicker than I could make it. So he was calling to let me know something has to change.
Yeah.
And then the third call I received that day was from my doctor calling to let me know that a biopsy I had taken earlier that week had come back as potential cancer and they needed to run more tests.
Oh my God. I just got chills.
Yeah. So here I am, right? Early 30s, living this picturesque life that everybody thought was so perfect. And it was a disaster. The whole thing came crashing down. And so it was in that moment that I realized this personal development work I'm doing, this therapy that I'm doing, something isn't working. Something's not clicking. And I had a dear friend at that time who had just started seeing a somatic therapist and was doing somatic work. And I was out of answers at this point. I mean, you know, I had done CBT, I had done EMDR, I had done brain spotting, I had done all the things. And so I was like, well, what the heck? Might as well try somatic work. And that was the catalyst that changed everything. I went to one session led to several months, and my whole life started to turn around. It was gradual, right? Yeah. I started to date healthy men for the first time in my whole life. I ended up turning my business around and going from like 30K in debt to making 30K in 1 month. I ended up eradicating the cancer scare. All my life slowly started to change. And it was because I healed my relationship to self on a nervous system level.
I love that. So
that's why I'm here. That's why I dedicated my life to this work.
So explain what somatic work means to people who are listening who maybe have never heard that term before.
Yeah. So somatic work or somatic experiencing, which is what I lead my clients through, it is therapy of the nervous system. So oftentimes when we're in traditional talk therapy, we're only addressing the cognitive side of trauma, which means we're talking about it, we're making connections in our brain of what happened in the past and how it relates to what we're experiencing now. But very rarely do we look at how did the body respond to trauma in the past? And how are you still holding on to that residual survival energy in your nervous system?
Yeah.
That's the trigger that keeps reoccurring and surfacing every time you try to date somebody healthy, but next thing you know, you're staying in a relationship with somebody who's gone to rehab six times.
Or sabotaging it in some way.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what somatic work does is it really gets to the bottom of those survival responses. And we work with somatic modalities to renegotiate that survival response so that you can feel a baseline of safety when it comes to relating to yourself and other people.
Yeah, I think that's so important for anyone listening who maybe is hearing what this means for the first time. I think it's so important to know that therapy is so much more, at least has the potential to be so much more than sitting across from someone on the couch, recanting your history and them kind of passively nodding. Like it's so much more than I think what people realize. It's there are so many more modalities and interventions available that go way deeper and way beyond traditional talk therapy or even CBT. I was listening to NPR the other day and I just caught a clip of the story, but it was a psychologist. And I think she wrote a piece for, I don't know if it was the New York Times or what the media outlet was, but it was about how not everybody needs therapy. And she was saying, you know, there's so many great like CBT workbooks out there. And she was like, she was like, I know I'm going to piss some people off, but like CBT isn't rocket science. And the truth is, it isn't, because it is kind of surface level stuff. And like, you know, yes, it's evidence-based. And yes, there is a lot of there are a lot of people who benefit from CBT work, but I think it only takes people so far. And then there's a point where you have to go a little bit deeper, especially when there is trauma in the past, or, you know, if you're noticing that you're cycling back into old unhealthy patterns, usually that's a signal that there's something more to the story that needs to be tackled in a different way. And so I think it's so great that there are these other interventions that just tap a bit deeper.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it's, you know, when you're when you're working with a trained therapist, like I have psychotherapists that will refer clients to me saying, they're as far as I can get them.
Yeah.
Right. And mm-hmm. so you tag team that. So mm-hmm. I always tell people therapy is amazing. Right. Even if you're doing CBT or you're doing EMDR or traditional talk therapy, keep doing it.
Yeah.
But also just make sure that you're tag teaming it with some sort of body-based modality so that you can right. get both sides of the puzzle, which is what you're talking about. And I think it's just really beautiful that you're talking about it.
Yeah, totally. So, okay. So you connected with this therapist, you started doing some of your own somatic work and healing. And what changes did you notice and how did that inspire some of the work that you do today as far as it, you know, as it relates specifically to dating and relationships?
Yeah. So the first thing I'll say, which is the really big shift that I saw, was that my go-to in relationships and in dating situations, I would date men that needed to be saved. Mm-hmm. That was kind of my go-to, right? Mm-hmm. I always saw potential. I was the potential girl.
Yeah.
Like, this guy could be so great. Right, and if I right. just hang out and I'm with him through this sixth trip to rehab, yeah. he's going to come out and he's going to realize how amazing I am. Right.
Right. And how great he is.
Yeah. Right. Right. And so I was earning my love mm-hmm. through someone else. And when I started to do somatic work, because I had done the traditional talk therapy route, I knew that I grew up in a long line of Polish women. Mm-hmm. I was taught at a very young age that you don't get to sit down and eat your food until everyone in the room is eaten first. Right. Okay. My mother taught me everyone else's happiness comes first. And if everyone else is happy, you can be happy. She's mm-hmm. still that way, you know, to this day.
Yeah.
So I was able to make that link cognitively. Mm-hmm. Once I started to get into somatic work, I realized that that was imprinted in my nervous system. This fawn response, we call it the fawn survival response, which means I'm going to people please my way through life.
Yeah.
And I only feel safe if someone needs me. Mm-hmm. Right? My happiness is dependent on someone else. And so when I started to work through that in my nervous system and understood how it felt to be in that space and how that was just a survival response, the main shift that I saw when I started to get back out into the dating world was that I was no longer attracted to men who needed to be saved. Mm-hmm. And I started to claim my worth. It was like I would yeah. go on dates and I was almost repelled immediately because my nervous system.
I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, I don't want to do it again. I don't want to be in that cycle. But it felt, and I say this because it felt like I could verbalize. I used to have a joke with my mom. If there was an alcoholic within a 10-mile radius, he would find his way to me. But it was because that was what was familiar to my nervous system.
Right, right.
Right.
That neediness, so that was codependency.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was the biggest shift that I saw immediately was that I got back out into the dating world and it was like, oh my gosh, there's healthy men out here. Yeah. Like there's men that don't need to be saved. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's really big, but yeah. I couldn't see that. I couldn't see the forest through the trees because I was so used to being in that response. In
right. And I think what's important for people to know is what can feel when your nervous system is out of whack and when it's responding in a way that has been shaped by your past trauma, you can feel a sense of safety in an unhealthy situation mm-hmm. because that is what is normal for you. That's what you're used to. It's what's familiar. And there is always safety in familiarity. But I think what you're describing is once you did that healing work and reshaped and rewired your nervous system, and then you were around people who had that neediness or, you know, that ordinarily would have triggered that, let's say, hero complex in you, the nervous system was like, no. So it no longer felt safe and familiar because you had done your healing work.
Are you struggling with emotional or physical intimacy? I have good news. I am now offering an unbeatable deal for my private 6-week online workshop. When you purchase my new book, Anatomy of Desire, you get the workshop for free. That's right. It's on the house with qualified book purchases. Certain rules do apply, but check out emilyjumia.com/workshop for all the details.
Exactly. Exactly. It was a false, I always like to say it was a false sense of safety.
Right. Right.
Right. And until you get into your nervous system and you start to learn the language of your nervous system, which most people are not taught, we're not taught that language growing up.
No.
Until you learn that, mm-hmm. then it's going to feel like you don't know what's happening because all you're doing is operating. I mean, in essence, I was operating out of the survival response that was passed down to me by my mother, mm-hmm. who was passed down from her mother, who was passed down from my grandmother. Yep. It just became this sense of normal mm-hmm. that wasn't really normal. It was just a conditioned response.
Yeah, I know. My therapist always used to say, like, this stuff or trauma, whatever you want to call it, will pass down from generation to generation until someone decides to put a stop yes. to it. And yep. it will. And you have to try so hard to be the one to make the change. And it can sometimes feel like a daily battle, but you can make the change and change the course for future generations, which I think is really cool.
Absolutely.
So you get back out there in the dating world and you realize you are no longer attracted to those kinds of guys. In fact, you notice that you're kind of repelled by them. And how did things progress from there?
Yeah. I mean, I had a series of healthy relationships. And it's interesting because I always say, because I lived in that survival response for so long, I didn't really have the time to get really specific on what I wanted in a partner. It was almost like I was dating for the first time in my 30s
yeah.
because I had only dated these projects mm-hmm. that I needed to fix and save. And so I found myself in several healthy partnerships. But what happened was that I would get inside of the healthy partnership and I'd be like, oh, wow, I actually do want kids. Mm-hmm. This person doesn't want children.
Yeah.
So I started to get specific about the things that I desired. And mm-hmm. so every relationship past that revelation, it's like I've been getting more specific around what are my values? What are my morals? What are my non-negotiables?
Right.
And now I have this sense of worthiness to be able to claim it.
Yeah.
So relationships feel, dating feels easier. Relationships feel much easier. And also knowing when to walk away, which is really big, feels easier than it ever has because I'm no longer placing my worth on someone else.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting you say that because I was going to ask you, how has this knowledge, do you think, made dating easier or more difficult? Because there's also the trope like ignorance is bliss. And sometimes the more you know, the more picky you can be, or you start to see all the things that might be wrong with someone compared to someone who, you know, hasn't gone through years of therapy or done the work. Like, in what ways do you think it, I hear you say in the ways that it's made things easier, but is there a downside?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say that because I am so specific about what I desire in partnership, it's been a lot harder to find someone that really does meet all of my values, morals, and non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. But I've landed at this place inside of myself, which, you know, and I think I've landed here because I've worked with so many women over the years in this same realm. It's almost like I would prefer, because I have a really beautiful life. Like, I'm really in love with myself. I love the work that I do. I love, you know, I travel with, I have a picturesque life that mm-hmm. a lot of people, and it's for real this time, right?
For real.
It's
not like, I was going to say,
it's not a fake one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there came this point that I was like, I really don't need anyone to complete me. Mm-hmm. And so I would rather live this life for the rest of my life than be naive and settle in a partnership with someone who really takes me out of what I have now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard. It's really hard because I'm looking for someone, right? And I, just to be fully transparent, if you follow me on social media, I just got out of what looked like a very perfect relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, our values, we had two really core values that weren't in alignment. And mm-hmm. I could have stayed.
Yeah.
I could have stayed. We could have had children and marriage. And there would have been a part of me 5-10 years from now mm-hmm. that would have woken up and said, yeah, but this is, I didn't honor my heart. I didn't honor myself.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's hard. It really is hard.
Yeah.
But you get to a place where you, your life that you've created, you love yourself so much that it's not worth giving that away.
Yeah. And I think that takes so much courage and bravery to, identify and acknowledge that, because I think for women, especially when you are approximating a certain age, you start to maybe, or a lot of people start to kind of compromise on some really core values because they start to worry about things like marriage and kids. And maybe I am being too picky. Like, what is your advice and how can you inspire women to have the same courage that you did to walk away? Because you've been so open and transparent about that on your socials. Because as we mentioned, just to recap, you know, I started following you about a year ago and I see that you meet this great guy and, you know, you finally found your person. And then I see you share that you realized after a while it just wasn't the right person and you're moving back to where you're from. And
yeah.
How hard of a decision that was for you. Like, what is your advice to women to make that call?
Yeah.
Or for men who might be feeling the same way?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and this is, I say this a lot, and sometimes I get flack for this in the coaching community because, or even in the therapy community, but because I know it to my core, I really do truly believe it. Like, you really do get to have it all.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe that and you know you're worthy of that, then there comes this moment when you quit ignoring the subtle nudges that are inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And if something is not in alignment and is taking you off of that center, it's like it's become so loud that you can't not listen to it. And I shared this on my last podcast, but I had a moment in my last relationship where I had a dream that I was walking down the street and all of these people who knew me, my mother, my best friend, all of my acquaintances that I know, my business, you know, colleagues, I was walking down the street and nobody recognized me.
Wow.
It was like they were passing.
I got another round of chills.
Yeah. And I was like saying hi and nobody recognized me. And I realized when I woke up that morning, like I'm losing myself in this partnership. There are things that I'm not honoring.
Yeah.
That are part of who I am at my soul. And if I continue to not honor these things, I'm going to wake up and no one's going to recognize me in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so when you really get to loving yourself and you understand your nervous system and you understand safety, and that becomes your guiding compass all the time, you start to tap into the little nuances of what's taking you out of that center. And so I always say that, listen, if you are in your 30s and you have that timeline on your back, like you want kids, you want marriage, you want all these things. When it comes to having children, you can go have kids. You don't need somebody to do that.
Mm-mm.
Right. And
no, you don't.
Yeah. And I think giving yourself permission to have that is a lot of women don't. They don't give themselves permission. It's like, I have to have this person to, you know, raise a child. I have a really beautiful support network. I would raise a really great child on my own.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's just, you have to get honest with yourself about what it is that you can actually create for you in this current moment and how much, because there's always a payoff. If you don't honor your heart in any situation that you're in, there will be a payoff. And it's just, are you willing to live with that?
Right. And I think it just comes back to, at the end of the day, yes, you can have it all, but not all at once.
Exactly.
You know, or not all at the same time necessarily. And so I think it is better for a lot of people to, rather than compromise some of their core non-negotiables, to have everything at once in the way that they thought that they should have it, stay true to who you are and what you believe and what your values are. And instead of trying to have everything at once, maybe what you adjust is your timeline of things.
Yeah.
You know, I think that really is the only way to stay happy and true to yourself.
Yeah.
Lauren, what should, as it relates to paying attention to our bodies and our nervous systems, can you give our listeners some key insights or advice? Because I think that we're socialized from a very young age to stop listening to our bodies. It's always like, think with your head, think before you speak, think before you act. It's like we get this big mind-body disconnect. And so we don't live very present or embodied anymore. And it's a mission that I personally have, you know, especially I focus on sex primarily, I think that you have to be fully embodied to have really meaningful sexual experiences. But as it relates to paying attention to our bodies in the dating and relationship world, like, what are some cues that people need to start tuning into?
Yeah. So the first thing that I always tell people is that you have to start learning the language of your nervous system. And what you need to understand is that the nervous system does not speak in explanation and story. The nervous system speaks in sensation and emotion. So when you're learning the language of your nervous system, you have to be able to tap into what are the sensations and what are the emotions that I'm feeling on a moment-to-moment basis without creating a story around why it's there. So an exercise that I love to give everyone, and this is super simple. So if someone's listening, you can try this. This is the best way to start to learn the language of your nervous system. It's called a somatic check-in. Set a timer on your phone and set it for every 3 hours. All that's going to happen is the timer is going to go off. When that timer goes off throughout the day, I want you to just take a moment and I want you to jot down what sensations you're feeling in your body, what emotions you're feeling in your body, and then what you were doing when the timer went off. So notice I didn't say name why those emotions are there or why those sensations are there. So for example, if the timer went off right now and I checked in with my body, I would notice that I feel a calm in my low belly and I feel a little bit of like flutteriness in my chest. What am I doing? I'm recording a podcast.
Yeah.
So once you do this over time, you can start to look at patterns. So for example, if every single time that this timer goes off, you're hanging out with, let's say, a man that you're dating, and every time the timer goes off, your stomach is in knots, that's going to give you a really deep clue that something is going on in your nervous system that needs to be looked at. And I know that sounds so simple, but most people don't even have the exercise or the awareness to even stop and just check in with what sensations and emotions are present.
Yeah. No, I think that's such a good exercise. And taking it a step further, so because you just gave this example, you're hanging out with this guy and your stomach is in knots. How can people start to differentiate between like my stomach is in knots in a bad way, or this is just butterflies and I'm excited? Because at some point you do attach a story to the sensations that you're experiencing. And how do you know if the story that you're writing really aligns in an honest and authentic way with the message that your body is giving you?
Yeah. So this is where somatic practitioners and somatic therapy really comes in handy, because the truth is it's really hard for us as individuals to decipher what is a threat response and what is safe. And so if you don't have someone that can reflect that back to you and help you understand what's coming up, because the truth is this, he could actually be a really safe person, but due to your trauma, you're automatically feeling threat. So if you don't have that context and you haven't gone into your system enough to really know what's in there, and you haven't looked at your past trauma with a practitioner, it's going to be hard for you to decipher between the two of those. So I always say, work with a practitioner to get to know your nervous system on a deeper level.
Yeah.
Because it's not, there's so many nuances to the nervous system.
Yeah.
That it could be that this, and I see this with women all the time, when they're used to chaos in partnerships and then they find someone that's really healthy, it feels really boring. A lot of women will notice this, right?
That's where it comes back to sabotaging. You'll start creating drama or looking for drama because that's what's normal to you.
Exactly. And that boring person could send your belly into knots, but they're actually really safe. So it's like, there's so many little nuances that you have to look at. And until you start to learn that language, it's going to feel difficult to decipher.
Yeah. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. So you keep referencing the language of our nervous system, which is a little bit of a sneak peek into the title of your new book. So I would love for you to be the one to share that with people and talk a little bit about your book and where people can find it. And let's just start getting excited about it.
Yeah. So I do have a new book, and this is the first time that we've released the title. So I'm really excited to do it here. But the name of the book is The Missing Language of Love, Connection Beyond the Butterflies is the subtitle. But it talks all about understanding the language of your nervous system and talks about how to look at those nuances and what does it mean? How do you understand the four survival responses? Mm-hmm. What does it mean in relationship to how you learned to relate to yourself and others through your past relationships, through your childhood dynamics, through your generational dynamics? How do you really understand that in your nervous system? So I teach you that missing language that a lot of people don't know how to speak.
Yeah, I think it's genius and so important, because I think, to your point earlier, so many of the self-help books out there are great, but very surface level in a lot of ways. Like when I think of the five love languages, because of course that's what's coming to mind with your book title, I'm like, yes, like that's all wonderful, but what about what's happening at a deeper level below the iceberg? Because there's so much information there. And really, at the end of the day, more than acts of service or quality time, it's what our body is doing in relation to other people's bodies and nervous system that really going to dictate the course of our relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that you said the five love languages, because when I went into, you know, talking to publishers and meeting with, you know, I had somebody that helped me write the book, I said, you know what drives me nuts? The five love languages. But the real language that we need to learn is the language of our nervous system. I was like, that's the sixth love language.
Totally.
And that was the whole premise of the book. It's like, how do we use that? Because it really, if everybody knew how to speak the language of their nervous system, meeting the five love languages would feel so much easier.
Totally. Yeah. It's like, you need to start with that before you can get to the kind of fun, more quantifiable stuff, if you will.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Lauren, this was awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today. Where can people learn more about you and find your book?
Yeah, so you can follow me at laurenzoller.com. All of the information on pre-ordering the book and all that goodness will be on my website. We're getting a revamp, so it should be up in the next couple of days. And then you can also follow me on Instagram at Lauren Zoller. I'll be talking all about the book there. And then you can also follow me on TikTok at Coach Lauren Zoller.
Awesome. And I will be sure to link everything in the show notes so that it's there for you. And Lauren is great. I highly recommend following her. It's rare, I think, to find people who are experts in the field who are also open and transparent and authentic about their own journeys. And so I think that's really neat that you're doing that. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of everyone, because I think it really adds so much depth and honesty to your content. So I think that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Emily, it was such a joy. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Until next time.
Thanks again for listening to Love and Libido with me, your host, Dr. Emily Jamia. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and drop me a 5-star review. Positive ratings help keep the show going. As much as we can learn from experts, nothing makes us feel more connected than hearing from each other. If you have a question about your love life, visit loveandlibido.com and I'll answer it on an upcoming episode. And don't forget to get your copy of my new book, Anatomy of Desire, 5 Secrets to Create Connection and Cultivate Passion, which is currently available for pre-order. Visit emilyjamia.com to try my online workshops and read my latest blogs. Subscribers to my podcast can use code HALFOFF for all my online learning material. Finally, you can follow me across all the social media channels for daily sex and relationship tips at Dr. Emily Jamia. That's Dr. Emily Jamia. Thank you so much for tuning in.